Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Vedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Volkebaum.
And today we're going to continue our discussion about carbon fiber. Our listener, Matt, wrote in and asked us if we could perhaps talk about this amazing substance and what it does and how we make it.
And we, in fact, can.
Yeah. So that last episode was really all about the history of carbon fiber, what we first used it for, and the sort of the progression of the industry over time. Today, we're going to focus more on what it's made, how we make this stuff, and also what it's used for specifically beyond some of the general things we've talked about. What makes it so awesome?
Sure. Let's start really quick with a brief overview of what carbon fiber is. It's made up of thin strands of crystalline carbon, like really thin, like human hair or thinner.
Yeah.
That have been twisted into yarn-type stuff and then woven into cloth-type stuff.
Right.
And then usually treated with some kind of resin and molded into a final shape.
Right, which it will then hold. So it's not, it's not like you put it in a shape and then like regular cloth, it then, loses that shape. You actually, that resin helps it hold that particular shape so that you end up with a really strong, really light material.
Right. And I forgot one step at the beginning there, which is you have to create this carbonized material.
Right.
This crystalline carbon strand, which you do with stuff called a precursor,
yep.
Which can be made with, it is most commonly made with rayon polyacrylonitrile, a.k.a. PAN, which we're probably going to use more often than polyacrylonitrile.
Certainly I will.
or petroleum pitch.
Yep. So these precursor fibers, with the exception of petroleum pitch, this is all stuff that we are making synthetically. We're creating polymers. Polymers are long chain molecules. They're made up of monomers. A monomer, think of that as like a basic unit of a polymer. So you get these really long chains, and then we carbonize them. So how do we carbonize? Well, for one thing, we use chemicals to alter the molecules in the fiber to create a perfect chain of carbon atoms. And these precursor fibers are pulled through an oxidation oven for a couple of minutes. And that oven's temperature is about 250 degrees Celsius. So the fibers then take on oxygen atoms from the air while in this oven. Now, this is not the actual carbonization process here. This is just pre-treatment. Kind of like when you take your car in to get car washed, and this is the pre-wash part of the wash. We should probably do an episode about car washes at some point and find out which of those stages are actually necessary.
Oh, yeah.
But getting back to the carbon fiber, the incorporation of oxygen atoms into the molecular structure of the fibers make the fibers actually resistant to high heat. It's very important because of an upcoming step. Now, at that time, the color of these precursor fibers changes as it oxidizes and eventually turns black. So whenever you hear something like carbon black, and it's that particular color. Like, I remember this all the time in video games where you're choosing your, like Halo particularly, where you're choosing your armor color.
Oh,
It's because it's taking it from the carbon fiber color, and the color tends to be black because that's what happens through the oxidation phase. So next you put these oxidized fibers, the ones that have been tempered for high heat, to go into another furnace. And this one has controlled amounts of other gases, but not oxygen.
Because you don't want the fibers to burn.
Right. Because in the presence of oxygen, those fibers become fuel, and then you just get fire.
Right. And then an ash is less strong.
Yeah. Yeah. If you just burn up your material, you are not doing it right. So what you have to do is you have to have these other gases that can introduce other types of atoms into the molecular structure. For instance, hydrogen, perhaps, but not oxygen. So that way you don't actually have a fire. You don't end up burning the stuff.
Right. So with this tremendous heat, the fibers vibrate, and the atoms that are not carbon vibrate right out of this stuff.
Yep.
Resulting in this carbonized material.
Exactly. So we get these carbon atoms, and they are becoming these tightly packed crystals that run parallel to the length of the fiber. The fibers then go through a bath of electrically charged water, which etches the surface of the fibers. It actually carves into the surface of the fiber a little bit, and those etched surfaces create anchor points for resin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, the resin wouldn't necessarily adhere evenly to the carbon fiber, making it less useful. This is a way of sort of giving those little handholds. I think of it like a rock wall with the little handholds in them, similar to that. So next, you have to spray the fibers with a light resin. Now, that is important for two reasons. It helps improve the fiber's material strength, and it creates a bonding agent for any future resin that would be applied to that carbon fiber. So this is not the stuff that makes carbon fiber adhere to a specific shape.
Right. It's not moldable resin.
Right. This is just so that
it's a pretreatment.
Exactly. If you want to apply moldable resin to it, that resin will adhere better. So everything here is all about pretreating this stuff so that it can eventually be put through whatever manufacturing process you want to continue down the road in order to get at whatever you're making. For example, a golf club. Or an airplane. Who knows? You could do either with this sort of stuff. So then you have the finished carbon fiber, which is called a carbon fiber tow, and you wind that on a spool. So this is the stuff that other companies buy as raw material, which then they can braid, weave, mold, or otherwise alter to make into their final product. Now, carbon fiber tows can also be grouped together in larger amounts called a web. Now, these webs can be put through a process that ends with a sheet of carbon fiber material. It's kind of cool. It looks like just an enormous black sheet of fabric, but that fabric is actually carbon fiber. So that fabric is 5 times stronger than steel and lighter than steel and more, it can be stiffer than steel if you apply the resin to it. I mean, it's interesting to think that something that looks like cloth could have these properties. Now, see, the web is sandwiched between sheets of paper that have a resin coating on them. Sounds familiar, right? Got a lot of resin in this process. But these sheets are pulled through a high temperature pair of rollers. So think of the wringers we talked about with the washing machines. Same sort of thing. You're putting this whole thing. Those rollers are at a high temperature. They're pressed together really tightly. And what this does is you get this protective layer over that carbon fiber sheet. And then you remove the two pieces of paper. They just peel away because part of the material in there, it's kind of like a no-stick coating, sort of like Teflon.
Sure.
And so you pull the paper away, and you roll the carbon fiber material, like the big sheet of material, onto giant spools. You do have to put a little polyvinyl coating on them, so that way it's actually like a little sheet of plastic.
So it doesn't stick to itself?
Exactly.
Okay.
But they look like, and I am not the only one to have used this comparison, enormous fruit roll-ups. And like enormous fruit roll-ups, they have that little plastic coating to keep it from sticking to itself.
Yeah.
Or fruit leather, if you prefer.
Less proprietarily, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that resin job there reminds me a lot of if you as a child ever preserved leaves or flowers in wax paper by ironing it down so that you got that thin layer of wax.
Yep.
Similar to that?
Similar. Very similar. So now this entire process does have some downsides to it.
I mean, not the flower pressing thing.
No.
Carbon fiber thing.
Yes. If you're not careful, the flower pressing thing too. But no, I'm specifically talking about creating carbon fiber and not just the carbon fiber sheets. I'm just talking about the whole process of carbon fiber in general. One of those is that it tends to give off a lot of dangerous gases, including carbon monoxide. So the smokes and tars that are given off in this process are not necessarily poisonous, but can contribute to serious health issues with prolonged exposure. So one of the things that's really important in the facilities that make carbon fibers is that they have really good ventilation so that the people who work inside them don't get sick over time.
Oh, sure. And really good collection so that you're not polluting the environment.
Yeah. So this is a process that could potentially be harmful to the environment just through the production process. Now, we talked in the last podcast about how the fact that it's lighter and stronger than steel means that using it for vehicles means you use less fuel for that vehicle.
It makes it more efficient. Sure.
Yeah. And it makes it environmentally friendly from a fuel consumption process. But like all things, you have to look at the enormous picture.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, it's one of those things where every time I start getting really excited about technology, thinking, oh, clean energy. And then I start looking beyond about how do you make the clean energy? And then I think, oops.
Curses.
Yeah. There needs to be a magic button, guys. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, you classify this stuff according to the tensile modulus of the fiber.
Tensile modulus?
It's a measure of how stiff the fiber is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's the term within the industry is tensile modulus.
And I bet, because of the way that the world works, there is both an English system and an international system for dealing with this, yeah?
You are absolutely correct. So the English system would be pounds of force per square inch of cross-sectional area, also known as PSI, psi. Then the international system of units would be the Pascal, which is also known as force per unit area. So one Pascal is one newton of force per square meter, meaning that it is interesting to try and convert between the two. Fortunately, the various sources we looked at spelled it all out for us, so we didn't have to sit
there. We didn't
have
to do the math.
Yeah, we didn't have to worry about being the ones who messed up a conversion. So if these conversions are messed up...
I usually let Google do that for me. That Google usually messes up conversions,
no,
it's, I think.
If I mess up a conversion, it's because I accidentally didn't realize I put the wrong unit in on one side of the conversion.
Yeah.
So fortunately, this case, we didn't have to worry about that. So low modulus carbon fiber have a tensile modulus below 34.8 million PSI or 240 million kPa, that's kilopascals. And on the other end of the spectrum is the ultra-high modulus that has a tensile modulus of 72.5 to 145 million PSI,
oof,
or 500 million to 1 billion kilopascals.
Oof.
Now, in between those two extremes are levels like standard modulus, intermediate modulus, and high modulus. And if you wanted to compare it to steel...
Yeah. So for baseline comparison.
Right. Because often that's what we like to look at, right? Carbon fiber versus steel. I mean, otherwise, why use carbon fiber at all if steel were better? So steel has a tensile modulus of around 29 million PSI or 200 million kilopascals.
So close, but not even reaching the low modulus.
Yeah. Fibers. Yeah. The low modulus was 34.8 million PSI or 240 million kilopascals. So that means that if you go with the strongest carbon fibers, you get 10 times the
strength of steel.
Right. The tensile modulus, if you want to be really picky.
Uh-huh.
But yes, strength is how we usually call it. So steel is 5 times heavier than carbon fiber. And carbon fiber is 10 times stronger than steel.
Or can be.
Yeah, if you're using the ultra-high version. So that's pretty cool. And that is, I mean, again, one of the big reasons why everyone is really excited by this particular type of material.
Oh, absolutely. But okay. So aside from those pollution related drawbacks that we mentioned earlier, there are unfortunately some others with this material. We touched on them briefly in the previous episode, but let's go a little bit further into them. However, before we do so, let us take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like saving the negative stuff for after the sponsor break. Let's talk about some drawbacks.
All right. So we mentioned earlier in our first episode, in fact, that carbon fiber is expensive, and we mean really expensive. It's like $10 a pound on the low end, whereas steel is something like $1 per pound.
Now, we should say this is an improvement from 20 years ago.
In the 1990s.
Yeah.
Right.
Carbon fiber back then cost $150 a pound. So the price has dropped precipitously, one might say, since the 1990s, but still more expensive than steel.
Yeah, and the price is because of that really intricate manufacturing process that we just talked through.
Yeah.
The raw materials are more like $4 per pound.
Right.
Which, to be fair, is still four times what steel costs.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just to make those raw materials, I mean, or buy those raw materials before you put them through the carbon fiber process. So what exactly is making the process expensive?
Okay. First off, those furnaces, not the original furnaces.
Not the oxidization, but the carbonization.
Right. They run around or even in excess of 1,000 degrees Celsius, which is over 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ugh,
meaning that's... you've got a really big power bill.
Man, I always worry if I've let the oven on.
Oh, yeah. The process uses some five times more energy than steel production.
Oof.
Okay. Also, venting the waste materials safely is expensive.
Yep. And we talked about how carbon monoxide is one of the big things that's let out in this process.
Right, right. Weaving the stuff for maximum safety is expensive. You have to use a lot of fibers to compensate for potential imperfections in the weave that could cause strain and eventual breakage within the fabric. Also, it takes longer to create a piece than it does to just stamp out a piece of steel. It's this huge three-part process. Mm-hmm. It takes an hour to cure the resin alone. So we're talking about bunches of time.
Okay, but all right. I see here you actually looked more into the resin itself. I'm really interested in this process.
Right. Okay. So if you make it with the most common resin, which is thermoset resin, it's in that shape forever. It's really difficult to reform, melt down, or recycle thermoset resin carbon fiber. If you do try to recycle this stuff, the resulting carbon fiber is weaker. It's too weak to be used, for example, in a car body. For safety standards.
Sure.
So there's greater potential for waste in both manufacturing and the post-consumer market. I mean, if you set this thing wrong,
right?
You've basically just wasted this huge expensive process.
So if your molds are off even by a little bit,
yeah,
then you're stuck with the shape that you've got, and you can't easily break it down and just make a new one because it's going to be less strong. It'll be too weak
to really
possibly
use,
depending upon what the application was. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a big drawback.
Yeah. There are some possible solutions to this that the industry is looking into, other than the manufacturing streamlining that Jonathan was talking about earlier. And those are using strong acrylics in place of carbon fibers, or perhaps in combination with carbon fibers.
Mm-hmm.
They're experimenting with heating the stuff with plasma instead of the thermal furnaces that are currently in use.
You know, I love plasma furnaces.
They're pretty cool.
I've talked
not literally
at length about plasma furnaces. So,
or possibly using remeltable thermoplastic resins in place of the permanent thermoset resins that are currently in use.
Now that's interesting. Now, obviously, with that particular approach, you would have to make sure whatever application you are using the carbon fiber for wasn't going to bring it into contact with temperatures too high.
Right.
So obviously, like the
maybe
aerospace.
Maybe not aerospace,
yeah,
exactly.
That would be one where I think the permanent thermoset would definitely be the way to go, because they undergo such extremes in temperature that anything that could potentially weaken the structure would be a big negative for that particular application.
Sure. One more downside before we get on to happier news, though. A lot of the precursor materials are petroleum based.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which obviously petroleum is an expensive and non-renewable resource unless you've got a few billion years to play with.
Yeah. If you don't mind, stretching out your lifespan to beyond what is conceivable, then you're fine. But otherwise, you could reach a point where
in 20 to 40 years, we're going to have the singularity.
That's so true. That's true.
So I guess millions of years. I guess it's really millions, not billions of years. I apologize, guys.
Well,
it's
hundreds of millions of years, so it's fine.
I was overstating things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. exaggeration in order to make a point.
But so researchers are looking into renewable precursors like lignin, which is a wood byproduct.
That would be really useful. So it's kind of funny, too, because in a way, it's looking back to the earliest days of carbon fibers,
right,
where we were using cotton and bamboo to mm-hmm. create carbon fiber.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's talk about some of the other benefits. When you treat this carbon fiber with the right resin, it ends up being resistant to corrosives, which makes it an ideal material for pipes that tend to carry corrosive liquids.
Oh.
And their fatigue properties are better than any metal.
Oh, wow.
So by having these pipes, you don't have to worry about them wearing out as quickly. They're not going to corrode based upon whatever material's moving through them. They are themselves inert, so you don't have to worry about chemical reactions going on in there. So that would be one of the big benefits if we were able to make enough of it to be used in that kind of infrastructure.
Sure. Also, that strength really is impressive. Formula One race cars are made all of carbon fiber. Well, I guess not all of carbon fiber. I mean, you know, they've got pieces.
Right, but the body is made of it.
Yeah. And that's more as a safety regulation than anything else. So,
sure.
So if we could bring down the cost of the manufacture, it could potentially save lives.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you end up making even basic car designs much stronger just by switching the materials they're made out of. And then something kind of cool that I read before we started really getting into this podcast. It was just a neat little news item. And I encourage folks who are interested to go and look up the Mark One 3D printer. It's billed as the world's first 3D printer designed to print continuous carbon fiber. So it uses a process called composite filament fabrication, or CFF, which embeds continuous strands of fibers in a thermoplastic matrix. So you could actually print carbon fiber pieces. Like you could print various components in carbon fiber.
Right, with that thermoplastic that I was talking about being remeltable and remoldable.
And so you might be thinking, hey, how much would one of these things run me? So if you want to pre-order one of these, because they haven't been out on the market yet, you can pre-order one. The cost is a lowly $4,999, which,
yeah,
you know, for
actually,
3D printers,
yeah,
really isn't that expensive.
No.
I mean, if you're looking at 3D printers that are printing in ABS plastic, which is typically what other 3D printers use, those tend to be less expensive, but ABS plastic's not as strong. In fact, the printed materials are supposed to be up to 20 times stiffer and 5 times stronger than ABS plastic parts.
Wow.
So if you are building things that have a lot of wear to them over time, this could be a good solution because it means you don't have to print replacements as frequently.
Sure. Although, I mean, I imagine that the cash to purchase the materials to put into your printer is...
Yeah, it might be more expensive to get the actual, like, quote unquote, the toner,
right,
than ABS.
Right.
So that is something else to take into consideration.
But yeah, so this material has a huge amount of current use and future promise.
Yeah. In fact, I remember some people even going so far as to look into the use of carbon fibers as a potential tether material for a space elevator.
Ooh.
But as it turns out, when you do the math, it looks like carbon fibers wouldn't be strong enough. It wouldn't have the tensile strength to withstand the forces.
Yeah, because it's not quite as strong as carbon nanotubes. I mean, the problem with carbon nanotubes being there that, you know, you can't get them as long as you can carbon fiber.
Yeah, yeah. Producing carbon nanotubes is a big problem right now. Like, while we're getting closer and closer to really efficient means of making carbon fiber more plentiful due to the manufacturing process improvements over time, we're a long way with carbon nanotubes. I mean, we've seen some promising developments, but, you know, it's still going to be a while. But anyway, really cool stuff. Thank you so much again, Matt, for your suggestion. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes.
If you would like to be like Matt and send in an awesome suggestion for a future episode of Tech Stuff, here's what you need to do. You can send us a message via Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. Our handle at all three is TechStuffHSW. Or try our brand new email address that we don't know works yet. But we're hopeful.
As of the recording of this podcast on May 29th, 2014, it's up in the air.
Yeah, it doesn't actually exist yet.
They're changing over tonight or tomorrow or supposedly.
So we don't know exactly when that new address is going to be totally working. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out, it's fine. That address, by the way, I know you're dying to know, is techstuff at howstuffworks.com. So if you would like, send us a little test message. Say, hey, guys, love the show. Or bring back listener mail and the klaxon sound effect. Or you know, I want to hear HBO part 4. Just let us know what you think.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy to. I mean, we read every single message.
We do. We will take your ideas duly into consideration. Perhaps forget to ever respond to you, but know that we are reading and we love you guys, and thank you so much for supporting us, because getting those messages from you really makes both of our existences.
At any rate, we are very happy to conclude this discussion. We will come back next week with some golden oldies for you, actually.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.